morning, everybody. Hey. Right, we just quieten down, find your seats. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to Beals Way Baptist Church. My name's Alistair. I'm going to lead the first part of the service. Jacob and the band will be leading us through the musical parts, and our minister, Martin, will be sharing God's word with us later in the service. Sunday Club, which is age 3 up till school year 6, are out for the entire service. So if you have anyone who's Sunday Club age, can you just take them out now, please? X Club will go out later in the service, and X Word will be staying in throughout. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for the freedom we have to come and worship you this morning, to come and declare our love for you, and to come and spend time in your presence, hearing from you. And we ask this morning that we will open our hearts to you. Let us hear something afresh of your love and your care for us and your plans for our lives. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to do this. And we just give you the glory this morning. Amen. There will be an opportunity later in the service to bring some of the things that are on our hearts before God. I'll say that just so you're prepared. Encourage you to pray out loud when there's opportunity available if you feel comfortable doing that. I read a quote this week. I'll come to that quote in a minute. But I don't know what your expectation is when you come to church, what your ideal perfect meeting is, ideal perfect church. The choice of songs might not be those that you'll necessarily pick. We might do things in a different order. I was up at Daniel's church in York a few weeks ago, and they do things quite differently. It's very predictable, but I know what they're going to do, but it's still different how we do things, but it's all good. I don't know what your perfect thing is. But I read this quote this week. It's by a guy called Shane Pruitt. And there's a prize, well, not a prize really, but if you ever heard of him, I don't know. He's an American Baptist guy. And I don't. Did he? Oh, there you are. I was away 2 weeks ago, so I didn't. I hope you didn't use this quote, but if you did, there we are. He says, stop looking for a perfect church. Instead, go worship the perfect God with a congregation of flawed people who need grace as much as you do. And I know this morning that I need God's grace, and I'm sure you do as well. So we're going to worship God today, grateful that he accepts us with the flaws we have, the mistakes we've made. And he accepts us through the price paid by Jesus on the cross. Just want to read one verse from Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It's Peter talking about Jesus. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That name, it's a beautiful name, it's a powerful name, it's a wonderful name. That's the first song we're going to sing this morning. What a beautiful name it is. Let's come and worship God together. Let's stand if you're able, and let's bring our songs. We've got three songs to sing together, and then we'll spend some time in prayer. Let's just take our seats for a moment. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He's our light, he's our strength, he's our song. Those are the words of the first verse. There's so many things that, when life's hard, helps us just guide us to turn to Christ. We're just going to spend some time praying. If you're on the prayer chain, you'll know there's a few emails come out this week about various situations we really need to keep people in our prayers for. And if you switch on the television or listen to the news on the radio, there's a world out there that it's hard to make sense of, isn't it? So this morning, I'm going to leave the time open. If you want to pray out for some of these situations, please do so. If you want to pray in your heart, that's fine as well. And then I'll pray at the end, just to wrap this time up.
Father God, I want to give you all the praise and the glory that happened to me this very week. I know it was only by your grace that I was saved from it. I was given a bill for £6,500, which I could ill afford. Lord, I had no sleep and I was worrying sick. I had a call from somebody this week who told me what to do and where to ask, which I did. I was shown a doctor, and it was my doctor, a doctor that was a private doctor with so many letters after his name. He told me I didn't need my dog seen to, and that she was perfectly okay. Lord, it was by you putting people in my life that I didn't know. It was only by your grace that I was saved that bill. So I want to give you all the honour and the praise this morning for what you did for me this last week. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
If you just want some ideas to just guide us, let's lift up Steve. Let's lift up Jill. Let's lift up Ollie and his family. And let's lift up Alan and Paula. They're all unwell and got treatment ongoing. And then the situation in the Middle East and Ukraine, it's hard to know what to pray for. This morning, I don't want to talk about political views on these. It's let's just pray for God's peace and for God's love to be known across that Muslim world in the Middle East, and for the Jews to recognise Jesus as their Messiah. Jesus is the only way for all those people. And we've also got the Alpha course to pray for people to in our locality to come and to know God's love. So yeah, let's just lift up those situations. Father, we come before you this morning with what seems like a lot on our shopping list for you. But we know you're a big God. We know you're a caring God and a capable God. And the things that are on our hearts that might concern us, we know that you understand those situations and that you have an answer to those situations and that you have love for the people involved in them. This morning we lift up the people we've just mentioned, that you'll just be with them through their treatment, that you'll place your hand on their lives and that you'll see their bodies healed, Father. We thank you for the medical profession and all the capabilities it has, but we also thank you that you're a healing God and a God that knows the body better than anyone on this earth. So we just trust you this morning that you will touch the people we've listed and the other people in this fellowship and connected with it that are going through hard times physically and emotionally. We ask that you will be with them and you will comfort them, encourage them and heal them, Father. And we just pray for our world. As I said, we don't really know what to pray for sometimes. But we just pray that your name will be known. That the peace that only you can provide will be seen in this earth. That you will raise up godly leaders who can guide the nations of this earth. We ask that the people in the Middle East, they'll be released from the shackles of an oppressive Islamic state. And that your name will be glorified, your name will be known, and that we will see loads and loads of people come to know you as Lord and Saviour. It sometimes seems such a big thing to ask for changes in situations like that, but as I said, we come to you as a big God. And we come to you with a small amount of faith, but we know that the small amount of faith in you is still able to see you do big things, if you're bigger than our weaknesses. And we come and we just trust in you this morning, Father. Amen. I'm going to sing another song before we have the notices, and it's called To God Be the Glory. And there's a line in that that I guess we often struggle with. It's the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Some of the headlines you see in the news at the moment, in our human hearts, you think they're beyond hope, aren't they? But God still loves them and God still cares for them and God will still forgive them. So let's just stand together again. Let's sing To God Be the Glory.
Glory, the glory, great things we have done.
guys, if you want to take your seats. It's the exciting part of the service. Notices. So there is communion this evening at 6:30, just probably for about an hour. Please come down if you're able to join that service. Ellen's asked me to give you an announcement. She's out with the children at the moment. There's been a bit of a spring clean happening across church at the moment, and there's what I might call stuff that needs a new home. If you go in the corridor out to the back doors, there is a table full of stuff. I had a look. There's CDs. There's a food processor. There's some Bibles, some books. I think there's a baseball bat. And there's... I'm not sure there's a cuddly toy or not. There's all sorts of stuff that if you go to a car boot sale, you'll make a fortune on, trust me. If you like any of it, please take it. In fact, please take all of it, because if not, someone here has to get rid of it. So on your way out, please, if there's anything that you want, it's up for grabs for free. Don't squabble over who gets it first, please. After the service, if there's anything that you want prayer for, there will be a small team down here on these seats. Please come and seek someone for prayer if you need it. Otherwise, there is tea and coffee out in the back hall after the service. Lizzie's asked me to mention that after the service today, and I think for the first Sunday of the month going forward, there will be a youth group gathering in rooms 3 and 4 straight after the service, where snacks, chat, whatever young people do that's cool and trendy these days will be happening. Generation away from me. But go and be encouraged together, rooms 3 and 4 after the service. Lizzie had a bag, so I assume there really are snacks there. And I'm just checking I've got everything. So the other thing happening this Friday, there is a day of prayer, Churches Together event, which Barbara is going to come and talk to us about, because she needs your help in more than one way.
Yeah, I'm Barbara. Morning, everybody. Friday, it's World Day of Prayer, and the ladies of Nigeria have written the service this time. Very interesting. I know nothing about Nigeria, except it's a very big country. Lots of different ethnic minorities, I think, there. But we do need some help. I really need some Nigerian artifacts and clothing and a flag. And if anybody was even brave enough to come to the service dressed in their gorgeous clothes, and I have seen, I believe, some here occasionally, the Pentecostal church would really love it. But I don't really know where else to go, but I know some of you have Nigerian heritage, and it would be wonderful if you could support this service. So come and see me afterwards, and that would be amazing. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Barbara. So it's 7:30 on Friday evening at the Pentecostal Church down Crab Lane, just next to the Stratton House Hotel, just down the road from here. There's a car park available outside, opposite the fire station. So 7:30 this Friday evening. I think that is all the notices. I haven't seen Ali waving her hand at me, so I think we're good. So if you're in school years 7 to 9, that's the X Club age. If I can get you to go out at the end of the second song in a moment, you'll go out to your group. X Word, the older ones are going to stay in. Next song we're going to sing is called Lost in Wonder. I don't know about you, sometimes these days it's hard to be lost in anything, isn't it? You've got your phone all the time, you're doing something, there's a message pings up, there's a news item pings up. It's a constant distraction, but this morning, let's just focus on God's love. Part of the song says, He chose the cross. He made a choice for us. So let's make a choice this morning. Let's just be lost in wonder before our God as we come and worship Him some more. Let's stand again if you're able.
Yeah.
and have a seat and catch your breath. Right, so if the, I say, school year 7 to 9, X Club, if you want to go out. Anyone who wants a creche as well, that's also out through the doors, round to the right. Feel free to make your way out. Father God, as the young people are just going out and also the ones in the back hall already, we just lift them up to you this morning. And we ask that even at their young ages that this morning they will see something new of you, that something in their hearts will turn to you in a fresh way, and that you'll be their light, their guide, as they develop over the coming months and years, as they start growing more, both physically and in their maturity in you. We thank you for the sheer quantity of young people we have in this church. Thank you for that blessing. I just ask that they will hear from you today. Amen. So Philip is just going to come up and read from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 26. And after that, Martin's going to come and share God's word this morning to us.
Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and wherever I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honour the one who serves me."
Thank you, Mark. Yep. I did threaten to bring a speaking trumpet this morning, but because every now and then Mark threatens just to turn me off, which is lovely of him, really. One extra notice that Alice didn't mention. On Tuesday at 12:30 till 1:30, we have our monthly First Tuesday prayer meeting. So if you're around between 12:30 and 1:30 on Tuesday, please do come and join us as we spend some time in worship and in prayer, listening for God's word and hearing what he has to say to us. Thank you. This thing doesn't like me, does it? Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." That's the modern NIV version. Oh, now we've got them both up. There we go. English Standard Version. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And then the Message. "Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it's never more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over." Three different translations of the same verse. More importantly, three different translations of the most important verse in this passage, and possibly one of the most significant verses in John's Gospel so far. Because here in verse 23, Jesus tells us who he is. He tells us why he has come. And he tells us what he will achieve. And it also marks a major shift in the focus of his ministry. Don't know if you noticed at the start of the passage, some Greeks came and asked to see Jesus. Greeks, of course, is another word for anyone who's not a Jew. And up till now, Jesus has been focusing on the people of Israel in his ministry, but here we see the scope widening to include everyone, to echo those famous words in chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So not just Jews anymore, but Greeks, non-Jews as well. And that includes you and me. Because at that time, the world was split into two groups of people, Jews and non-Jews. So you've got to fall into one of those two groups. So who is Jesus? Well, in these verses, we see himself calling himself the Son of Man. That figure in the book of Daniel who comes from heaven to judge and rule the earth. But here we also see that Jesus is the seed or the grain of wheat that he's talking about in verse 23. And as he talks about the grain, we learn some things about him as well. The first lesson is that if a grain or a seed does not fall to the ground and die, it will never achieve its purpose of creating more wheat or whatever plant comes from it. It has to die. And here Jesus is saying that he, the Son of Man and God's only Son, has to die. It's part of the plan, and it has been since the beginning. Jesus always knew that he had to die to bring salvation to the world, to bring life to you and to me. And so, if you're ever faced with someone who says, well, Jesus never really died, or that Jesus never meant to die, you can share these words with them. Because here Jesus is speaking prophetically about what's going to happen to him, that he is going to have to die in order for that salvation promised in John 3:16 to be possible. It was never a mistake. It was never a failure. It was part of God's plan. And in fact, in dying, Jesus glorifies and honors God through his obedience and through opening that door of salvation for you and for me, for every Jew and for every non-Jew in the world. Just as the seed or grain has to die to create new life, so did Jesus. And he gave his life willingly, refusing to hold on to it, because he knew that by giving it for us, he was fulfilling God's plan. And again, we can see he knew this from verse 27 when he says, now my heart is troubled and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Again, anyone ever argues about the validity and the effectiveness of the crucifixion, Jesus is saying here in verse 27, that's why he came. That's the whole purpose of him coming to this earth, was to be crucified. It's been said before, but everybody else, we're born to live. Jesus was born to die. So who is Jesus? He's the grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies so that we can live. And that's why he came. He came to die for us. And what will he achieve? Life in all its fullness for all who put their faith and trust in him, right here and now, but also into the future and an eternity with God when this life is over. One of the things that he achieves is bringing glory to God. Because in his death, He reveals that the love and power of God is greater than even the power of death. Because in his death, Jesus breaks any hold death has on us if we choose to follow him. This is doing God's perfect will, and when we do God's will, we bring glory to God. You and I this week can bring glory to God if in our daily life, in our place of work, wherever we find ourselves, we do something that is in line with God's will, we will bring glory to God. As we sang earlier on, to God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. We sing that so glibly. But as Alistair said earlier on, it's hard when you stop and think that the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Who in your mind is the vilest offender? Is it Ian Huntley? How many of us, when we heard the news this week, thought, serves him right, wish the bloke had finished the job? You'd be honest about it. Yeah? Doesn't make you an awful person, it makes you a human being. But is Ian Huntley the vilest offender? And if he was to truly believe, and this is the scandalous part for us, isn't it? If Ian Huntley was to have a conversion experience and give his life to Jesus, he would be forgiven everything, including what he did to those two young girls. Shocking. But that's the power and the love and the grace of God. That's the power of Jesus, the seed, going into the ground and dying so that new life can come. If it's not Ian Huntley, maybe it's Vladimir Putin. If Vladimir Putin were to have a conversion experience and give his life to Jesus, he'd be forgiven. Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, he can't because he's dead. But if he, while he was alive, he had confessed his sins and come to Jesus in faith, he too would be forgiven. Let me go on. Peter Mandelson. Donald Trump. The president of Venezuela, whose name I've forgotten. The Ayatollah, who was blown to pieces yesterday. Bob Fennell. Mark Eckert. Martin Caesar. Anybody who turns to Jesus in faith and repentance because he died, because he went to the cross for us, will be forgiven. And aren't we glad for that in our own lives? But isn't it weird how we struggle with some of these other people? They go back, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, all that lot, you know. But it's very clear when it says God so loved the world. And anyone who is living and breathing, who comes to commitment in Christ and repents of their old way of life, will at that moment from Jesus a pardon receive. And if you've never come to Jesus, you can receive that pardon this morning, because he died for you, so that that fruit of people who are become part of God's family can grow out of that death of his. Perhaps we should also have a hymn that says, the smallest offender or the least offender or whatever phrase. So we don't just go for the really bad stuff. If you think, well, I've only done a few little things wrong now, I've only had 5 speed awareness courses in my life, that sort of thing. I only nicked a few packets of sweets when I was a kid from the sweet shop. You know, I might have sworn at somebody when they cut me up driving. This is not just a list of my confessions, by the way. but it could be. They always say to speak from your experience, don't they? Put in your own things that you've done, because none of us is perfect. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because the grain of seed fell to the ground and died, it produces the possibility for forgiveness and eternal life. For sinners like me, for sinners like you, and yes, for sinners like Ian Huntley as well. And of course, once we've made that commitment, once we've received that forgiveness, we're called to follow Jesus' example. That's what verses 25 and 26 are all about. Deny, you know, if you love your life, you want to hold on to it, you will lose it. If you hate your life and let go of it, you will gain it. And of course, remember, Jesus is talking with hyperbole here. And what he's talking about is not holding on tightly to the life that we have now, but recognizing that life is much more than just here and now. And these words echo Matthew 16, verses 24 and 5, and Luke, verses 9, verses 23 and 4, where Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Wonder when the last time you stopped to wonder what that actually means was. What does it mean to deny myself? What does it mean to take up my cross? What does it mean to lose my life for Jesus? It all sounds a little bit masochistic, doesn't it? And obviously that's not what Jesus means. It means that we recognize we are not the center of our universe, but that Jesus is. It means aligning ourselves with him and his teaching, living out the life he died for us to have. It means putting others before ourselves, seeking their good before our own. It means putting everything that is important to us or that the world tells us is important under the rule and authority of Jesus Christ. Living in the shadow of the cross to bring glory to God. And that might be something completely different to one person to another person. But we all know in our own lives, deep down, where it is that we are perhaps not denying ourselves, where we are perhaps not picking up our cross and following Jesus. It could be in our marriage, it could be in our family, our place of work, wherever. And so there's a challenge here to look at our own lives and say, am I living the life of a disciple who takes up their cross and follow Jesus, or am I living the life of a fan? Obviously not the round thing that blows air, but like a football fan or a sports fan or something like that. Sports fans, they go and watch everybody else do all the work and at the end of it say, yeah, we won 3-0. We? I guess it's a bit of a mouthful to say. The team that I support won 3-0. But you get the point. Jesus isn't talking about us being fans. He's talking about us being followers, apprentices, disciples, living in a way that brings glory to him. That might mean challenging injustice where we see it. What might that have meant the last couple of weeks? I don't know. Maybe letting our local borough councillors know that we don't agree with them cutting financial support for council tax for the poorest people in our borough. That's standing up for injustice. So if you wrote the letter, thank you. If you wrote the letter and got a reply, even better. I don't know what everybody else's experience, but I used the joy of cut and paste, and I sent to 5 of the councillors. 3 who voted against the proposal replied to me. 2 who voted for the proposal. I wonder what that says. I wonder what that says. It might be bigger than that. It might be getting together in public to protest about an issue that's going on in the world, or to protest against an unjust and unfair and oppressive government. And that might take a lot of courage. Look at the people in Iran who've been doing that the last few weeks, the courage that they took for them to do that, and how many thousands of them were murdered as a result. I often think about the British way of protesting about the government, and it's normally just to go, I can't believe they're doing that. Broad generalisation, of course, but yeah. It means recognising something about Jesus' teaching. It means recognising that the teaching of Jesus is radical. I know that's not a popular word these days, because when we say radical, we immediately think of Islamist terrorist or other kind of terrorist or whatever. But Jesus' teaching was radical because it challenged the status quo of his day. And again, for context, I don't mean the pop band. Think about that for a minute. Never mind. Carry on. When was the last time I challenged something that I saw as unjust? Well, actually, it was this week, thanks to Rachel. But apart from that, when was the last time we thought, that's not right, we need to stand up against that. We need to stand up for the people who are suffering because of that. Because that's what Jesus calls us to do. Speaking up for those who can't speak up for themselves. Defending those who can't defend themselves. Being Jesus in that situation. Ultimately, it could be summed up in the words of Jesus at Gethsemane. Not as I will, but as you will. Obviously speaking to God. Saying Jesus is Lord means exactly that. And while it's easy to say Jesus is Lord, I will be the first to recognise that it's hard to live that out. It really is hard to live that out. There are so many other voices, so many other things clamouring for our attention, claiming lordship over our lives, both within us and outside of us. But if we can deny those false lords and those false kings and honour Jesus as the Lord, then we, like him, can bear fruit for the kingdom. And God will honour us for any sacrifice we make that points to him. And sometimes it can actually be a joy. This week, I went up to Poundland, because I thought, I need to buy lots of packets of seeds for this morning. Where's it going to be cheapest to get enough packets of seeds for every household represented here? So I went to B&Q first. They're a bit pricey. Went across the Poundland and found some stuff. And hopefully you all got a packet of seeds, or every household has got a packet of seeds. Or we need to take them home and plant them and see what happens. But I went up to Poundland. And thought, I need to know how these seeds are packed in here, because if they're all loose, that's going to be an absolute nightmare. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll buy one packet, and I'll go down, and I'll open it by the till, and I'll see what happens. So that's what I did. I went down, brought it, and they were in 6 little sachet bits, which is really helpful. And then I said to the guy on the till, right, I need to go back and buy 9 more packets now. And he kind of, I get this look often, but, you know, it's like, what are you talking about? And when I came back down, I said, yeah, I'm doing a church service on Sunday, and I want to give a packet of seeds to every household, and I reckon about 60 households will be enough. And he went, oh, what church is that? And I went, well, it's the Baptist Church on London Road. And he said, my gran used to go there. Janet Clark, if anybody remembers Janet Clark. A little while ago, I think, probably. And then he said, I used to come to Holiday Bible Club. And then he said, my favourite thing that people will say to me when they know who I am and what I do, I'm not religious. Now, at that point, I could have just went, well, never mind, and toddled off the rest of my day. Here's what I'm talking about, denying yourself and taking up your cross. It's a very silly example in many ways. But I stopped and I said, neither am I. That confused him. And he said, but you're at a church. And I said, yeah, but we don't do religion at our church. We focus on a relationship that God offers us in Jesus. Religion controls people. Jesus sets us free. Words to that effect. And he kind of, oh, yeah, kind of see that. And talking of seeds, I might have just dropped a little seed. And I'm not saying this to big me up. I'm just saying this as an example from this week and how simple it can actually be. You know, I could have just rushed off the next thing that I was doing in my life. But I chose to stop and chat to him, and I was really pleased that I did. Now, he's not had a Damascus Road conversion, because he's not here this morning. I can see that. But you never know. And that is one simple example of denying ourselves, putting somebody else first, and giving them the time to explore something that they thought they knew that actually they were wrong about. So be encouraged with conversations that you have this week. You never know what might come. And if someone says, you know, oh, all right, did you have a nice weekend? What did you do? Well, I was at church on Sunday and our pastor preached a brilliant sermon. Do you want to hear some of it? And then he gave us some seeds to take away at the end. Oh, why did he give you some seeds? Well, let me tell you. Boom. Not, oh, it's an awful weekend. I support Burnley and they lost 4-3 and they had 2 goals disallowed by VAR. I don't think it was fair. No, I felt for Scott Parker and his team. You don't know what someone's going to give you an opportunity to say during the week. And it all starts with that grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying. And out of that death comes the most beautiful, vibrant and eternal life. When we sang In Christ Alone, we talked about him going into the ground and dying, but then we talk about him rising from the dead. And his rising from the dead is the same as the seed sprouting a new plant, a new life. And remember, out of small acorns, great oak trees grow. Now, when you look at an acorn, you think, well, how on earth did God fit a tree in that? But when it grows, it's massive. Jesus willingly gave his life, knowingly gave his life, because he knew what would come as a result of that. And the challenge for us this week, well, not just this week, but is, in what ways can I give my life following Jesus to introduce somebody else to the kingdom? To introduce somebody else to Jesus Christ. It might just be a small conversation at a till. I could just send you all up there now, couldn't I? Tell you what his name is and say, look out for him. Get in his queue. Poor lad. But I won't. And what I want you to do with the seeds, I've said it already, but I really wanted just to give everybody one seed, but that would have been really, really difficult to do. So you've got a pack of seeds for every household, hopefully. Have we got any left? Bob, Chris? There's only one. Okay, no. Take them home and plant them, inside or outside, but make a note of where they are. Watch them grow and ask God to speak into your life as you see them grow. They might be sweet peas, they might be nasturtiums, there might be something else. I can't remember all the varieties that were there. But hopefully there will be a blaze of colour and a beauty, something that might actually make you smile when you see it. And that, when we burst into colour and share Jesus with people, that makes God smile. We're like the flower blooming and blossoming. And we honour God when we do that. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the reminder that Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that he'd come to die. He knew that he'd come to die so that we could live. And so we thank you that that illustration of the seed going into the ground and dying and creating new life speaks so powerfully to us about what Jesus did. But it also challenges us in our daily lives to be less selfish, to be more aware of others around us, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow him. And Lord, we want to confess we find that really difficult because it goes against everything in our human nature. But we thank you that because of Jesus, that human nature can be transformed and can bring glory to you. That's what we want to do. So as we go from this place today, help us to think about what that means for us in our day-to-day lives. And help us consciously to pick up our cross, deny ourselves and follow you each day. And please help us not to lose the seeds on the way home. Help us to find somewhere to plant them, to water them and to see them grow. And to receive joy and to be reminded of your joy when we grow. Jesus, you gave everything for us. The seed gives everything for the plant. May we give everything for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to reinforce that prayer with our last song, which, if I remember rightly, is "I Will Offer Up My Life." Yes, good. Good. So, again, this is a song. There's some really big words in this. It's got a nice tune. But don't just get carried along by the tune. Think about the words. And if you want to just open your hands to tell God that you're ready for that sort of thing, that's great. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't look at them. You know, just focus on you and God and respond to what he said. And as Alistair said earlier on, if you would like to receive prayer at the end of the service, hopefully the prayer team will be here to pray for you. If not, we'll draft some people in if anyone comes forward. But let's stand if we're able to and sing this song of response. Yeah. So as we go from this place, let's go rejoicing that if we have put our faith in Jesus, we are forgiven. That if we belong to him, we have hope, we have a future. We can conquer the darkness of this world. We can conquer the darkness of our own hearts. Because in Jesus, we have the victory of the one who died, the one who rose again, and the one who ascended into heaven, where now he sits at God's right hand, interceding for us. As we go, may we know his leading, his guiding, and his presence. May we know his blessing, and may we share his blessing with others as we go through this week. And all the people said, Amen.